from round the corner
to your street and neighbourhood.
This is Pablo for breakfast.
Chatting TV and movies, King of the Nerds, Adam Ross. He is back with us. Adam, good morning.
Good to be here, Pablo.
Now, it's a bit of a horror lineup you've got for me for the first couple of things that we're going to recommend. The first, Omen. Now, this is a horror that's at the cinemas. You went to the premiere the other night. Did it scare the bejesus out of you?
No, I know how much you... I think the most horrific thing that you get in your life is listening to me talk about those movies.
Pretty much.
Living vicariously. Look, The First Omen is really good. We have had lots of prequel films, especially prequel horror films that, you know, or sidequels and stuff that are, you know, these deep continuations of these never-ending franchises and with, you know, lackluster quality. But The First Omen is rock solid. It is gothic, it's scary, it is intense. You know, I think that here that Nell Tiger-Free, as the young nun caught in the centre of all these demonic machinations, is exceptional. And I think that what the director here, Akshana Stevenson, does is... she kind of plays a lot of the horror off the reflective faces of the character. So she's doing this obscuring element. There are flashes of terrifying imagery. And then when we cut to the actor, we go, okay, that is worse than I thought. And so it's one of those films that lingers in the imagination. It's straight up kind of Satanist stuff. So, I mean, we've had a lot of goofy horror movies that have been playing at things for laughs. This is not playing anything for laughs. It's trying to get under your skin. It's wanting you to hide under your bed when you get home. And I found it enormously effective.
Now, The Late Night with the Devil. I have watched the doco to this one, the trailer for this one, because it does sort of pique my interest a little bit. All about a 1977 live TV broadcast that goes horribly wrong. What'd you think?
Now, look, this is really solid. This is by two Aussie directors, Colin and Cameron Cairns, and I really like their films. They did 100 Bloody Acres, and I think that they're really, you know, they're having a lot of fun with the genre. So where something like The First Omen is deadly serious, Late Night with the Devil, even though it does have turns that get, you know, that get very serious and under your skin, there's kind of a fun to be had with this, because it's kind of like a meta movie. It's kind of almost like Network in a way that we see the inner workings of the media landscape, and, you know, and we follow, this lead character as he tries to get ratings. And so Jack, our host, he'll do anything to, you know, to beat Johnny Carson, basically. And so, like, if you've got an interest in the media landscape, that, you know, this movie's kind of operating on two levels. But when it does get into the supernatural, it does freak you out. The only thing is that this is where it's going to split people, is that it's got a lot of DNA in it from, like, creature features and stuff like that from the 70s. So there's a schlocky element to it. There's some practical effects that look old school that I love, but I know that modern audiences be like, oh, that, you know, that looks like an effect from later days. So I think that, you know, that's where audiences will probably split on this movie, because I've talked to a few people about it, and people that are like huge fans of horrors are like from the 70s, that this is like their favorite movie of the year. And other people are like, I thought it was a little bit silly in some places. So.
Talking about a little bit silly, Alex Jones. he's a fascinating man. I've never really watched much of his InfoWars stuff, but I was captivated by the trial that he went through with Sandy Hook. And this new HBO doco delves deep on this. He's a polarizing figure, to say the least.
Look, I think director Dan Reed has made probably the definitive statement on Alex Jones. And I think that what's really fascinating about this HBO documentary is that Jones controls the narrative, right? So Jones will change the landscape and has been changing the media landscape to say whatever he wants to say, you know. But what this documentary shows, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that Jones is a man who is motivated by money. You know, this is a persona, right? Like, so a lot of people, you know, I mean, over the years, people have shown me stuff of his, and they're like, hey, do you know this? Have you seen this? And I'm like, this guy is crazy, right? You know, like, who would subscribe to this? But when you see here, just like, you know, in the cold light of day, that he is monetizing supplements and elements like that, and that he's using algorithms on his website, he knows that the more inflammatory comment that he says, something like 9/11's an inside job, or that, you know, that Sandy Hook was crisis actors, then he gets a spike in t-shirt sales, he gets a spike in supplement sales. And so he is motivated to not tell the truth. And so this is really powerful, because the parents of Sandy Hook, who have been through, you know, unimaginable terror and horror, have now got to face up against this guy saying it didn't happen to them, you know. And I'm surprised that some of them just didn't punch him square in the face. But so watching the trial and watching Jones be in a room where he cannot edit, he cannot cut, he cannot lie, is really interesting to see Jones squirm. So, I mean, I think this is one of the better docos of the year. It's on binge at the moment.
Now, we've seen a bit of a rise of these sort of courtroom documentaries. There is something fascinating about it, right?
Oh, totally. I think that, you know, because we live in a landscape of fake news now, you know, like, I mean, if you wanted to make a YouTube video on any topic and you wanted to cherry pick any information that you can mount an argument for anything. You know, someone told me the other day that there are more people currently that believe the world is flat than when back in the day when they thought it really was flat, you know. So this rise in misinformation and people uptaking it, you know, people are getting their political information from TikTok and things like that. So, you know, so they even say in the stocko that Jones at one stage had more eyes on him than CNN. People were watching him, you know. I mean, and this is a guy that reckons that, you know, that there are tornado machines that the CIA used to assassinate people, you know. Like, you know, he just throws out crazy stuff and bangs the table. I mean, look, you can't take your eyes off him because he's charismatic.
He's very captivating.
He's very captivating, but what he's saying is bonkers. Yeah. You know? So bonkers.
Check it out. That one is on Apple. And then lastly, X-Men. There's some cartoons on Disney Plus.
Look, I mean, this is a bit of a nostalgia hit for me. I was bribed my parents to go to school by watching the X-Men cartoons. So they knew that if I got up and I was in my uniform by 7:30, I could watch that for half an hour and then I could go to school. And so that X-Men series, I mean, that ran from 1992 to 97, I was obsessed with it. I loved it, right? I can still remember the theme song. And so I saw that it dropped on Disney Plus recently and I'm like, cool, you know, the X-Men cartoons. But it's even cooler than that. They've made new episodes of my old shows.
So
they're doing weekly installments that have the same aesthetic and a lot of the same voice cast. And so it's a continuation of that comic that I like, the comic adaptation that I grew up with. And so I was like, oh my God, I'm like, you know, this is, yeah, it's like getting new episodes of Friends or something like that. You know, if you've got a nostalgic old favorite show and you can go back to it. These episodes are great. They're really good.
Well, there goes the weekend. Mate, we won't chat next week because I'll be living the influencer life in Bali, but we'll see you in a fortnight.
You'll be working on the six-pack. I love it.
The feel-good start to your day.
This is Pablo for Breakfast.